Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us as we celebrate this special Sunday of Epiphany, and we welcome this new year into our hearts. A few announcements before we get started. We want to the joint board wants to continue to encourage you to bring a mask if you would like to sing along with your favorite hymns. Masks are required for singing. The trustees are still asking that you consider an extra gift for the Church Furnace Fund if possible. We have already raised over $7,000 and are hoping to raise at least $10,000 for a new project. So any gift you can give to that is greatly appreciated. Today we started and continued new Sunday school classes as well. I started a class on boundaries for couples and for other people who are interested in learning about boundaries and how we can create them and use them to help us. And I think it's a very applicable class. I recommend it to anybody who has a hard time saying the word no in their lives, because it is a good class to teach us that sometimes in order to be fully enthusiastic about the things we say yes to in our lives, that we are called to by God, sometimes we have to say no to other things. And then Paula's class is doing a class on James as well, that I highly recommend as well for those of you that are looking to dig into scripture, and videos that teach in our regular Sunday school continue as well. Please don't forget, next week, church council will be immediately following worship, Sunday, January 16th, so make sure you grab a church council packet before you leave today, and you can look over some of the data in there. The joint board has decided that with cases as high as they are, that it would be best not to have a shared meal for our church council. So therefore, we will have church council immediately following worship in the sanctuary. We thank you for your understanding with that. We'll try to keep things short and sweet and not let hunger prevail today. But we thank you for your flexibility with that. We look forward to discussing the business of the church. We will be having our CEC game night on Friday, January 28th from 6 to 8 p.m. Bring your own pizza and beverages for your family, but we will have shared games for us to play in and to participate in. It is one of our favorite nights of the year as a CEC, so we hope you can join us for that. Food on the Fly is coming around the corner this Wednesday from 4:30 to 6. A great meal for just $10. So make sure you stop by early, and we appreciate all our volunteers who continue to help and make that happen. And we hope you can support us this month as well. And then trustees will meet quickly after worship service. That's all I have for announcements at this time. Let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from Isaiah 43, verse 1. God says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Amen. from Scripture.
Our first reading today is Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now, this is what the Lord says, "He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba and your seed. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, don't hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Our second reading is Matthew 2, 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet was written. But you, Bethlehem in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out for you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen went and rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream to not go back to Herod, they returned to the country by another route.
Amen. At this time, we turn to a time of prayer and a time of reflection as we uplift our joys and concerns to God. We will not have slides this week. I'll just share with you whatever prayer concerns I can publicly, and we'll have a time of prayer to follow. We start with prayers of joy from our kids, who all seem like they survived the half-inch snowstorm that we had on Friday. So we're glad to see you're safely and enjoyed your wonderful day off of school. You guys are very lucky. In Wisconsin, if it snowed half an inch, I would not get a day off of school. My father would hand me a broom and a dustpan and tell me to get the dust out of the driveway. That's what would happen, because it took about 6 to 8 inches before we'd start to get nervous and start watching those TV things. So I'm grateful that all of you had some time with family and some time to relax a little bit. In our more serious prayer concerns, we uplift the Miller family, Aaron and Chris Miller, who lost their house in a house fire. I believe it was either Friday. Was it Friday? Yeah, Friday night. And they have two little boys. They're good friends of Nicole Fowles. So please keep them in your prayers as they continue to rebuild their lives and look for a new place to live and get ready to start afresh. So we definitely keep them in our prayers. We continue to keep in our prayers Tom and Caden Northrup. Tom is home with oxygen. Caden is still hospitalized. No, Caden is home as well. Sorry about that. But he is recovering as well. Tom was suffering from COVID-19 symptoms and continues to recover. Caden was suffering from pneumonia or continues to suffer. So we continue to pray for their recovery. For CJ Harper, prayers of joy. A classmate of Tyler Castor that was suffering from severe COVID symptoms as well. He is home from Akron Children's on oxygen as well, so we pray for his speedy recovery as well. And we continue to keep Emily's grandfather, Jim Ferrone, the Reverend Jim Ferrone, in prayer. He still is in the hospital recovering from his surgery, dealing with an infection that the doctors are still trying to treat and help him with. In our wider world today, we continue to pray, obviously, for COVID-19. Cases are rising higher in the county and the state. We eclipsed our national record this past week, so we uplift those in our congregation who are dealing with this, those outside of our congregation, and we especially uplift our first responders and health workers as well. We uplift those in prayer. Especially this week, we think of those who are waiting to have procedures and surgeries rescheduled, those who have had their day-to-day hospital maintenance and needs kind of pushed back and put into different areas because we deal with this pandemic. We continue to pray for the health, safety, and healing of all of God's people. Let's take some time. Oh, and we also offer, I'm sorry, one more. We offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Rodney, who would be Jeff Edwards' roommate, a friend of Amy Pasquinelli. So we uplift Rodney's family in prayer at this time as well. So let's take these joys, these concerns, and uplift them to God. Gracious God, we come before you this Epiphany season just asking that you make manifest, make it clear among us that you are present and working in our lives. Be with those who are sick and hurting. Be with those who are struggling. Be with those who are suffering from COVID-19. Be with the medical teams that are exhausted with this pandemic. Help them to find strength when there is none. Help them to find hope on days that seem so dark and scary. And help each one of us in the midst of this storm see the light of the world guiding us out of this darkness. Excuse me. Gracious God, we pray for so many who are sick and hurting. We pray for the many in our congregation that we've mentioned who are still suffering with the COVID battle, for those who have family members, for those who have friends. Help each and every one of us remember this is a personal and universal struggle. And gracious God, we pray for our world. Help us to grow closer as children of God. Help us to find ways to come together. Help us to stop focusing on our differences and start focusing on what connects us, that we are children of God, created and loved in your image. Let that be our foundation. Let that be our building block, for building a brighter, stronger, and more Christ-like world. With faith, hope, and love in all times and places. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, we present our offerings to God. Once again, not passing our offering plate up and down the pews, but we offer our tithes, offerings, and gifts to those who would like to make a personal donation in the church. There is a plate back there. We continue to thank many of you who give faithfully online, and continue to look for community organizations that we can support. We continue to support this month through individual donations, the Hope Project going on at the homeless shelter as they look to rebuild their facilities and offer more for our community in need as they continue to remain at capacity and living beyond the means of their building. So we look to support them in many different ways. At this time, let us please rise as we join together in our offertory prayer. Together. Loving Savior, may your love manifest within us and call us to share out of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds to our children's chat at this time. So we're going to talk about Epiphany. Epiphany means to make a message clear, to put a bright, shining star on it, to make it obvious to people. So when God created the world, he sent this very simple and awesome message into the world. But the problem is, the world had a hard time seeing and understanding that message. And they could only read it because it was about this big in their hearts. Kids, can anybody tell me what this message is from here? Anybody read it? My 5-point font? No, this is what life was like in the Old Testament. People had an idea, a glimpse of the message and presence of God, but they couldn't quite figure it out. They kept looking up, and they couldn't quite see what God was offering them. And so as the world continued, God made a promise to people like Abraham and Isaac and David, and it became clearer and clearer that God was at work in the world. And that message became a little bigger and a little brighter, but still difficult to see. Can anybody read this message for me? Rylan, how about you? You got one hit? Can you do the one eye thing? Nope. Nope, can't see that one yet. It's a little bit bigger. Can anybody try to make that out? Can you at least see words on a page on this one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's good. So they were struggling. The message was growing. And they could tell that people were squinting. God could tell that people weren't quite figuring it out. So he had this idea, this solution. He sent his one and only son into the world to carry this message, to proclaim it, so people wouldn't have to squint, so people wouldn't have to try to figure things out. And his one and only son made this message this big. Can anybody read what that says? What's that say? Tyler?
God is love.
Rylan, what does that say? Let's all say that together. God is love. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus made manifest this message, that people tried to figure out that God is angry, God is upset, and it was Jesus who reminded people that message that you knew back in the day of Adam and Eve that grew as Abraham and David, and he amplified it and made it even larger and left no doubt that he laid down his life for each and every one of us. So on Epiphany, we celebrate that the wise men were able to see clearly, but we also celebrate that us, as children of God, that Christ was made manifest to us, so that this message could be in 72-point font, not this 5-point font that I have right here, but 72-point font. We can see with no doubt and with complete assurance that God is love. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask that you open the hearts and minds and ears of our children and just help them to keep that message in their hearts, in each of our hearts, that you, God, are love. And there's going to be times where we struggle to see that, times where we struggle to figure that out, but help us to look to Jesus. Because when we look to Jesus, those words become bigger and clearer and stronger within us. And we walk this earth with that truth in our hearts, that God is love. Amen. So for our message today, we're going to dig a little deeper into what Isaiah was saying today. And actually, I'm going to have Denny and Paula back there sharing a little sermon illustration for me in a little bit. But the United Nations estimates that there are 7.9 billion people on this planet as of January 2022. I still not used to saying 2022 yet. But 7.9 billion people on this planet. I don't know about you, but that number tremendously overwhelms me whenever I hear it. I can't wrap my head around it. I want to show what that looks like to you. If every human being that existed in this world was a dot on a page, we're actually going to show you that. Paul, are we able to? Oh. Okay, that's okay. We're going to Actually, I'm going to have Emily. We're going to use your phone, mate. Or your phone. You're using your phone. All right. Well, we're going to improvise. That's what we're going to do. We're going to show that God is love and God is improvisation right here. So there is a website called datapoint.net. And on this website, actually, we're going to give you homework instead. I want you to check out this website at some point today. It is a website that shows for every human being on this earth, there is a dot on this website. So if you scroll on datapoint.net, you will see 7.9 billion dots. And the reason I had to ask Denny and Paula to help me out with this is because I was going to print these out and I was going to have our kids show this for our children's chat. Anybody want to guess how many pages that ends up being?
7.9 billion.
Even double-sided printing, 317 pages it would take. So we would need the people in our church. Think about if we have, let's say, 50 people here, each of you would have to be able to show 6 pages front and back to be able to show just how many people are on this earth. It's crazy to think about. Now, we wanted to save some trees, so we wanted to prevent doing that, so I want you to just visualize that. Thinking about if we represented every dot in this room, it would take you to hold 6 of those pages to help us out. And that's a lot to take in. And it was something I thought a lot about this week. 7.9 billion people share this planet together. And when I think about that number, I think about the fact that I need a God who sees me as more than just a tiny dot on a big page or a grain of sand in the desert. Otherwise, it would be so hard to classify the pain and suffering that we experience in this life as anything more than arbitrary and cruel. See, the thing is, Isaiah, in his ministry, in his life, he faced an incredible amount of hardship. But he still did not classify his God as cruel and arbitrary. Because Isaiah and his people experienced exile. They experienced hardship. They experienced death. In fact, most scholars agree that Isaiah died in exile, and a second writer finished his book from chapters 40 to 66 in order to keep the hope of flame, to keep the flame of hope alive for the people of Israel. The original Isaiah didn't even make it to see the end of his prophecies. This was a common practice in ancient days and happened actually in multiple books of the Bible. See, what Isaiah spoke about, though, was the personal touch of God in his life. Isaiah 43:1 said, "Thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." I love that understanding of God. You are mine. In fact, I picture God, when we hear that scripture, whispering to every child that graces this planet in the womb, "Child, you are mine. I know who you are, and I love you no matter what." We're not 7.9 billion dots when we hear that scripture. We're not grains of sand, but we are precious and ordained members of creation. We are something that God created holy to be a part of this world. But the important thing to remember, the thing that I really love about Isaiah, is that even when he has this understanding of a caring and compassionate God, Isaiah is grounded in the truth and reality that believing in God does not shield us from pain and heartache in this world. Listen to what he says in verse 2 and 3. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." What Isaiah is saying is that faith does not shield us from the waters that rise quickly above our heads, or the fires that turn our lives into ashes around us. Yet what makes suffering different for us as Christians is that we know the pain that we are experiencing will never get the last word. Viktor Frankl, an award-winning neurologist and psychologist and Holocaust survivor, said it like this: in some ways, suffering ceases to be suffering at the moment it finds meaning. Suffering ceases to be suffering at the moment it finds meaning. You see, meaning as a children of God is what transforms what we take in as pain, and it takes it into wisdom. The important thing to remember is meaning is not the solution. Meaning, finding meaning, it doesn't fix what pain we experience. It just means that our pain is survivable. It means that our pain is redeemable by Christ. In her book, Option B, Sheryl Sandberg shared wisdom from her friend Larry, who was helping her through the unexpected death of losing her husband at 49. Her friend Larry had this wisdom to share with her. He said, a day of joy is 15 minutes. A day of pain is 15 years. No one pretends that is easy, but the job of life is to make those 15 minutes of joy into 15 years, and those 15 years of pain into 15 minutes. Brothers and sisters, we start to transform that 15 years of pain into 15 minutes of pain when we realize that the same God that whispers to us in the womb, child, you are mine. I know who you are, and I love you no matter what. Guess what? It is the same God that whispers to us, that speaks to us, that listens to us in our darkest and most difficult hours. And that God is still whispering to you, child, you are mine. I know who you are, and I love you no matter what. No matter what. So everyone who is born on this earth starts that journey with some type of faith in God. The ones who lose it are the ones who often believe God abandons them in darkness. God leaves them alone when things get tough. Those of us that are able to keep and nurture our faith understand that in those difficult moments, God is not abandoning us. God is reaching for us. God is sifting through the darkness to guide us and pull it out of it. God is with us in our suffering. He is our lamp, our light post, our beacon of hope. And every human being who walks this planet is going to face suffering in one way or another. I don't care if you're Jeff Bezos, the richest CEO in the world, or if you're a janitor or a homemaker, every single person that walks this planet is going to experience pain in one way or the other. It's a universal human experience. The choice is always going to be up to us in how we respond to the pain we experience on this earth. Will we see a God that sees us as a dot on a page, just one of 8 million dots, no more important than a grain of sand? Or will we see a God that loves us so much, that cares for us so much, that he will come down and call us by name in the womb and accompany us through our entire journey on this planet? From the day we are born till the day we die, God continues to call us by name, to talk to us, to care for us. And if we accept that personal connection with God, it will be quite a precious gift indeed. For it will remind us that our suffering does not separate us from God, but it only brings us closer to the one who sacrificed and laid down his life for each and every one of us. It will remind us of the unconditional love that Christ showed us on the cross to make sure that no suffering would ever be beyond his redeeming love ever again. So we are left with this choice, this difficult choice. Every one of us is going to experience pain. Every one of us is going to experience hardship. But the choice that we are going to have to make is, do we see God helping us through this struggle or do we not? Do we see the helping hand reaching us out of the darkness or do we see only darkness? Because if we listen to Isaiah, one who has been through it all, who's been through hardship, who's been through difficulty, who's been through persecution, who's lived without his home most of his entire life, he saw that God. And he looked, listen again to Isaiah 43:1. Thus says the Lord, he who created you, he, O Jacob, who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. So no matter what happens, no matter what life throws your way, brothers and sisters, remember that. God calls each of us by name. And we are his in life, in death, in birth, through this entire planet experience on this planet. We belong to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you and realize that there is so much that happens in life, so much difficulty that we can't control. But help us to cling to you no matter what happens. Help us to understand that none of us experience hardship alone, that we are gifted with friends and family and a caring and compassionate God who showed us what true love looks like on the cross. So help us to believe in the God that calls us by name and to remember we may be one of 7.9 billion dots, but each one of us is special, unique, and loved and cared for by God. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we join together in song as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. our minds to Holy Communion, an opportunity to celebrate the sacrament and beloved gift that God gives each and every one of us. A reminder for each and every one of you that the Moravian Church has an open communion table. All who welcome Christ's love into their hearts are welcome here. That invitation also extends to our virtual friends as well. Take an opportunity to grab some elements from home. But we have this opportunity to celebrate the gift of God's redeeming love for our sinful nature and community for Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let us please rise and extend the right wave of fellowship. Before you, just saying thank you for this offer to come to your table. We are not worthy, but you welcome us anyway. May you feel the gratitude pour out of our hearts. Gracious God, we come before you as sinners, confessing that we are of a sinful nature. We ask you to forgive us for what we have done and what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. But still, you blot out all of our transgressions the second we ask for it. We are so grateful for your mercy and grace. Please blot out all of our transgressions that we present to you. And help us as we pray together the words that you taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection.
Bless and comfort us, gracious Lord of God. Amen.
In the same way after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
Thank you.
our Lord Jesus Christ, to drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant to us your peace. Amen.
Unto you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.